because some of you didn't even have rain. We had rain at our place. Just a quick little shower, but it went north. So anyway, good to see everyone here tonight. There might be some coming at 6:30 because I guess it was in the paper at 6:30. I don't know how or why, but it was at 6:30 and someone called me today saying, what time are we having the service tonight? And I said, it's always at 6 for this time around. So if there's somebody that comes in late, that's why they come. They thought it was 6:30 and they'll be wondering what's going on here. But anyway, welcome them anyway. Glad that you are all here. Just to let you know that when the time comes to have communion, that, oh, by the way, I went out and bought my first bottle of wine today. Just because I looked in the fridge and there was none. And I just said, relax. Sunshine is down the road. I can do this. And I did it. So if you don't like the taste of the wine tonight,
it's my fault.
Thanks for saving me, Lynn Ann. But what's that?
Did you get pardoned?
No, I did not. I didn't think about that. But we're gonna do it a little bit differently tonight than what you're used to. It'll just be one place where you come. I don't know who is going to be ushering tonight. I don't see Jim Rolfe here tonight. But we'll need someone to usher just to be able to give you the nod that it's time for you to go. But you'll come up here and receive the wafer and the cup. And if you want to go up to the altar, there's a railing up there. If you want to spend some time up there in just prayer or stand up there in prayer, you can sure do that tonight and come back at any time that you want. But when you're done, you can either go up there or you can go back around and sit where you are here tonight. And it's no obligation that you have to take communion tonight. It's just one of those things that Jesus has invited his believers, his followers, to come and come to his table and to receive what he told them that night. And we'll get to that a little bit later. So that's just the way we're going to do it tonight. Tomorrow night, it'll be a little different as well. You're going to come in, and we will see if we can't shut off all the lights. I might have to have my flashlight, see what I have to say. But when it comes to the end, there's going to be a song that will be sung by Amy Johnson. Were You There? I think most of us know that song. When she is done with that song, that's when I will go and take the Bible and just close it and blow out the candle up here. The candles won't be on up front tomorrow night. As we remember, we call it Good Friday. It's not always good when you think of it. Oh, Lila, let me give you this because your dad will probably give you all the answers here. Yeah. Glad you could come. So that's going to happen tomorrow night, and I'm going to say that we'll leave in silence. So, I mean, once you get outside, you can talk all you want. But inside the church, just leave without saying anything until you get outside. And that just gives you something to do. If somebody starts talking, you just go, shh, wait till we get outside. Whatever it is, so. Gives you something to think about as you leave. And if you want to just stay here and just reflect and to pray, please feel free to do that. You don't have to leave, but you can go whenever you want to. So with that, were you listening, Lisa? Okay. So I make sure you follow me so you don't have to text me to say, what's going on? So, okay, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for everyone that is here tonight. It gives us the opportunity to think about what Jesus went through for us every step of the way, and there's many, many different aspects to Holy Week, the things that went on. We can read about them in your word, the Bible, and we can also hear about different aspects as we come to our Lenten services as well. But we just pray, Lord, that you would meet us where we're at and that you'd give to us what we need, whatever that may be. But thank you, Lord, for each one that is here. Be with us as we listen to your still small voice tonight as well. We pray in Jesus' name. And that's the other thing with when we come time for communion, there will be no music. It'll just be, we're going to do Psalm 46:10, where it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." So that's going to be a little awkward for some of you, even for me. But it's we're just going to just sit and think about the Lord this evening. Everyone did get a bulletin? Or a bulletin when you came in? There are the songs. The songs are in here. The first song we're going to sing tonight, led by Melissa, is going to be "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And then we'll close on the servant song at the very, very end. So I'll sit down and be quiet. Thank you. Our message tonight comes from John 19, 1 through 16. It sounds like a lot, but it's really not. John 19, verses 1 through 16. This kind of sets the tone for where we're going tonight. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat on a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Well, we've been looking at different places where Jesus has gone. The first one was the road. You remember the road? It's kind of taken him into Jerusalem, the triumphant entry. It's kind of like we celebrated last Sunday with the palm branches and the cloaks and the things that the people took off and laid on the road where he came riding in on a donkey. The second one, once he got inside the city, where did he go? The temple. And he knocked over the tables of the money changers and chased the money changers out with all of their sacrifice animals and stuff and birds that were there. They were in the wrong place. They're in the temple where they should never have been. They have a place outside of the temple. And then the third one, after the temple, where did he go? Remember that one? No. That was last week, the garden. Before the garden, he went where? To the room, yeah. The upper room where he had the Passover meal with his disciples. And then last week he went to the garden. After he had the Last Supper, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where we left off last week. He was in the garden. So tonight we're looking at the stone pavement. Have you ever heard of the stone pavement before? You know, it's one of those kind of obscure little things in Jesus' life here in the very last. It's actually just, It's 3 hours before he gets crucified. We find the stone pavement. So it's on Friday at 6 o'clock in the morning when this takes place. What are you usually doing at 6 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, probably are. But here Jesus comes to Pilate at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he is crucified at what time? At 9 o'clock. So in 3 hours, he'll be crucified. When does he die? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he hangs on the cross for 6 hours. And he dies at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Pontius Pilate sits in his chair in his palace there. That's probably not in his palace, but it's very close to his palace. And he sits in a chair what is called the judgment seat. He is the governor. And he'll sit in his chair and he'll have any convict will come, any criminal, anybody that's brought to him, he will give them a sentence as he interviews them or talks to them or whatever it is. But he's got the power to do that. And so it is the religious leaders who have brought Jesus to Pilate because, remember, the Jews' capital punishment is not the cross. That is a Roman way of killing or ending someone's life, is the cross. It's not a Jewish way. The Jewish form of capital punishment was what? Throwing rocks, stoning. That's the way they would kill people, by throwing rocks. But they didn't want that. They kind of laying it onto the shoulders of the Romans here. So they could say they didn't do it. The Romans did it. Blame them. So Pilate sits in his chair, and before him on the floor, there's a large, like, stone tile. Now, I did a little research on this here, and in the Greek word, it says paved with stones. So there's a room that, in the Greek, it says paved with stones. In the Hebrew, it points that there is a raised stone or a raised step. And I don't know if Pilate is on that or if that stone is raised up and that's where the criminal stands on before Pilate to be sentenced. I'm not sure what that is. But you get the idea that it's a very large room. There's like 2,500 square yards. That's a big room. I thought feet, that's a good-sized house with 2,500 square feet. But this is 2,500 square yards of stones that have been inlaid into the flooring of this place. So this is where Jesus is at this time. That I read to you from John chapter 19. What condition is Jesus in at this point in time? As he stands there before Pilate, what is his physical condition? Weak? Okay, anything else? Why would he be weak? You know, he's had no sleep all night. He'd be weak just on account of that, wouldn't he? A little cranky? No, he wouldn't be cranky. We would be cranky. He didn't get enough sleep. But he didn't have any sleep up to this time. Are his hands free? His hands aren't even free. They're not handcuffed because they didn't have handcuffs in, but they did have rope or twine. And so they bound him. So, I mean, he's been bound for a long time because he got bound when they arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And they took him back to see Annas and Caiaphas. Annas is the older guy. Caiaphas is his son-in-law. And Annas was a high priest. And he was a high priest for about 10 years. And then he got booted out because he messed up. But he kept it in the family. His other sons were also high priests that followed him. And so he just kind of still kept control over the Sadducees because they were part of that religious group. And when Jesus, remember when he kicked over the temple, in the temple, the money changers and kicked them all out? Guess who is in charge of getting some of the money that the money changers took from the people who came to Jerusalem for the Passover feast? The Sadducees. So he was kind of over that whole industry or monopoly that was there. And so it upset them very much because they're losing money by him coming. And they also asked, he was asked, so what gives you the authority to do what you just did? When Jesus said, God's house has always been a house of prayer. It's not your local Walmart or Costco. It's a place that is very, very important in the religion of the Jewish people, and they knew that. So you got to start thinking of Jesus, what he was like at this time, before Pilate. He's weak, he hasn't slept all night. He's bound, his hands are tied. I don't know if they're in front or if they're in the back, but they're tied, his hands are not free. And he had been taken to Annas right away after he was arrested in the garden. And so he's been interrogated by some people you probably are familiar with. He was interrogated by Caiaphas, Pontius Pilate, and Herod Antipas. Herod was a son of Herod the Great, who was given the jurisdiction around the Sea of Galilee, up in that area. Jesus, a lot of his ministry took place around the Sea of Galilee. So it kind of one of those things where Herod is in Jerusalem, Pontius Pilate is the governor, and for the first time, these two men become friends. Figure that one out. His face, was it swollen and bleeding prior to coming before Pontius Pilate? You'd have to say, yeah. He'd been punched in the face by Roman soldiers before he came to see Pilate. So he, you know, I don't know if you've ever been punched in the face. Do you swell? You know, do you get a black eye? Or you're going to get a good shiner type of a thing. But Jesus is not a person that looks like who you're sitting next to or in front of you or behind you or to the side of you. He's beat up. He's really beat up. He had been blindfolded, and he was blindfolded by the soldiers, and they would punch him in the face, and then they would say, guess who hit you? Remember that? And of course, Jesus never said anything, but he's been punched by a lot of guys, a lot of soldiers. He was ridiculed by Herod Antipas. It was Herod who gave him that nickname, the King of the Jews. Making fun of him, he's mocking him. And so the soldiers then, they put on him a crown of thorns. So they had to put that all together. And they did not just put it lightly on his head. They really put it on hard, and there are spikes. But then they would beat on it to make sure it would really fasten. So you'd have the spikes that would go inside his skin and skull. And he would, you know, if you ever had any kind of a little cut on your head, it bleeds terribly. I don't know if you remember when Donald Trump got shot in the ear, how much blood there was there. It was just like, it's a head wound. It bleeds crazy. They then put a purple robe on him, but the robe was put on after he had been flogged or scourged or whipped. 39 lashes. It's supposed to be 40, but the Romans gave him mercy and only did 39. We'll talk more about that tomorrow night. So when they put the robe on him, guess what stuck to his back? the robe would have, because he was bleeding. He was all cut up. And so you got the robe put on him. It will probably clog some of the wounds on his back. But we also know that the soldiers tore off the robe. And if you tear off the robe after it has been on your back for a little while, what does it do to the wounds? It tears them all off, opens it all up again. So he's lost a lot of blood. And that's when they started mocking him and saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." So was that all that Jesus went through for us? No, there's more. There's more. Because it says that the soldiers also then punched him in his face some more after that, before Pilate finally brought Jesus out to the people as he stood before him on that stone pavement. And Pilate's conclusion, I find is very interesting. Pilate did everything he could to keep Jesus from being crucified. I always thought that he was the villain. But Pilate said, "I find nothing wrong with this guy." And it was Pilate's wife who came to him that day and said, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man." Because she had a dream about him. And so she told Pilate, "And if Mama's not happy, neither is he." So he did everything he could to keep Jesus from being crucified. But in the end, he gave in to the cries of the priests and of the Jewish people out in the crowd. Because he said, "There's one last thing that I can do for you. This time of the year, I can set one person free." And who do you want me to set free? And the word was out, Barabbas. And what should I do with this guy, the King of the Jews? Crucify him. In other words, polite way to say, kill him. And so Pilate did wash his hands, saying, "Like, I'm going to have nothing to do with this. What happens is on you guys." And he said, "Well, be on your children's as well." And the people said, "Yeah, that's fine." I don't know how they could say that, but they did. But Pilate released Jesus to them, had him flogged. And after he got flogged, he was to carry his cross to Golgotha. And we'll get into that more tomorrow night, of what that was like. But that's just, you know, we cannot fathom what he went through. It's hard enough when we see someone who we know who is suffering and in pain, and there's nothing you can do but to be there next to them and hold their hand or just touch them, or, you know, you're just like, wow, what more can I do? And there's nothing you can do. Suffering. Jesus is suffering greatly here, and it's not the end yet. And it all takes place by the stone pavement that the scripture talks about. You can always remember that as the place where Jesus was judged by Pilate. And we mention Pilate's name every time we say the Apostles' Creed. It's the part he had in this time of history. So when Pilate pulled out his last trick up his sleeve to say, "I can release to you one person," that didn't work, did it? Didn't work. And so he just turned him over to the crowd. And to hear the people say, "Take him away. Take him away, crucify him, crucify him." And it's even Pilate who says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And then they say, "We have no king other than Caesar." Caesar would be considered a god in his day, in being the leader of the Roman Empire. He'd be worshipped as a god. And we know he wasn't. So the people's hearts here at this time are as hard and as cold as the stone pavement that Jesus stood on. Hard hearts. Cold hearts. And here's the Lamb of God standing there before them. Doesn't look pretty, but he's standing there before them. And he's the one that came to take away the sins of every one of us, and even those that are there. So we're going to come and take communion at this time with some of these thoughts of what Jesus went through for you and for me. So there'll be no music. Who is my usher? Anybody? Okay, come on and be that person there, Steve. And I'll ask Dale Garrels to come, as he'll help serve. And if you want to, would like to, please come and just come to this table. And if you need to go up and pray, you are free to do that as well, as long as you want. This is the body of Jesus Christ. This is the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. Like always, I forgot something. Didn't I? The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins, may he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand on, because in your bulletin you do have the Apostles' Creed that you can read if you don't know it, because it will not be up on the monitor. Let's say this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction. Before we sing our last song together, it comes to us from Numbers, the very end of chapter 6 in Numbers. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Amen.
Everybody took communion, celebrated and ate the Passover together. It says, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So, he got up from the table, he took off his robe, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and he asked, 'Do you understand what I was doing? That's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you.
Thank you, Melissa. Go in God's peace and serve Him.